Welcome to the show, Gold Squadron Gays. It's the podcast where two Star Wars loving gays talk about and review their favorite Star Wars content while also being gay as hell. I'm your host, Bradley Brower.
I'm your other host, Charles Rogers, and let's get through this because I desperately need to go watch the new season of Young Royals that came out today that I'm not watching to do this episode because we couldn't do it this weekend because I was busy.
Funny. That's hilarious. I'm on a scandal kick right now. I don't know why.
You're on a scandal, like the Shonda Rhimes show scandal?
Yeah, so like I've been binging Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice for like the last month, and then I've also been like, you know what? I guess I'm just on a Shonda kick right now. So like I've been living in Shonda land for a while, so I was just I'm just gonna start Scandal randomly.
But have you watched How to Get Away with Murder?
I have not, so.
Okay, fucking get on it. Get on it, Bradley. Come on.
I still have like 300 more episodes left of Grey's Anatomy to watch, so I don't know if I'm gonna quite get there yet, but you know.
The first episode, the pilot episode, contains ass eating. Like.
Oh, that's right. It's like in a bathroom stall, right?
No. That happens later.
Oh, that's later? Well,
he has sex with somebody in a bathroom stall later.
You're right. The pilot is iconic.
The pilot is iconic. It's the best pilot I've ever seen. I've been watching Young Jedi Adventures, but Young Royals just like literally today as we record this, they've released every... So I wanted to get your take on this actually because it's really interesting. I haven't watched the season yet, but they have released all of the episodes except the finale because it's the final season. So what Netflix has done is they've released the five episodes of the season, but not episode six, like the finale episode. They're saving that one for another. It's like going to come out in like a week or two.
You know what it is? I hate to bring it back to fucking Love is Blind, but they're doing the finale of Love is Blind.
What the fuck is Love is Blind?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. I will not worry about it.
They're doing the finale as of this recording this week. So, and it's like the thing where they wait to post the finale because it's a reality show. So, or I'm sorry, the reunion. The finale already aired. This is the reunion.
Yeah, because we talked about this, didn't we? Because we talked about how Love is Blind is like coming out in these chunks. It feels like streaming is like streaming services that aren't Disney Plus, who can get away with doing one episode a week, are kind of starting to experiment with how can we send these out in blocks of episodes.
Yeah, and I'm thinking they're trying to come up with like, well, if everybody's gonna binge it in a day anyway, let's just make them binge it as much as we want them to binge each week. That way they keep their subscription for 2 months instead of, you know, 1 month just to watch everything in 1 month. Because if we spread it out over the course of two different months, then you have to pay for both months. You can't just pay for 1 month.
It's also the likelihood of you canceling a service, because you know how a lot of services get you is they get you by getting you to sign up for a free promotion and then you forget to cancel it on like the last day. And then you get charged for it, or you just completely forget about it entirely and you have however many charges on your account.
Right.
You know, it just keeps charging you until you notice, wait, how many months have I been paying for Netflix and I didn't even realize it?
I've had Netflix since the beginning, since it started. What?
But I know that like Prime has been doing video like the releases in like two or three episode blocks. Like Hazbin Hotel came out over 3 weeks. Because it was four episodes, then two, then two. Gotcha. Vox Machina is like three episodes per week. And now Young Royals on Netflix is trying this thing where it's like most of the season comes out, but the series finale isn't good. Anyway, I need to finish Young Jedi Adventures so I can watch this fourth season of Elite that you claim is absolutely fucking insane. That I haven't gotten to yet.
I haven't even finished the current season because I gave up on the show.
Well, you told me I had to at least get through four.
If you could get through, I think if you get like through the first four, because they have the moment. There's a moment in the show that made me quit the show. That I was like, all right, I can't anymore. This is too far. I'm done. And I got through, you know, the half brother, half sister fucking stuff, and I can't get through this. Like,
Christ.
This is pretty bad. So I
this,
was like,
this right. show. Literally, I was watching like season two or three of this show while I was doing my Game of Thrones rewatch, and being like, this is just Game of Thrones in a Spanish boarding school. Like, yep. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
I mean, I want to go to a Spanish boarding school now, but you know.
God almighty. Anyway, speaking of streaming services, now that we have completely tangented,
bring that one back.
A bunch of shows. Speaking of Netflix, because of, I don't know, I just associate Netflix with anime because we're still watching Monster. Speaking of anime,
Sure.
Star Wars Visions.
The only other place to watch anime in the world, Netflix.com, I guess.
Yes, it is
Yes.
only Netflix and this show on Disney Plus.
That's right.
No
There's no
other
other
anime
anime. Yep.
exists.
No one else ever.
Oh my lord, I remember the days when I had to watch it on like Hulu. Like I had to watch anime on Hulu because I watched a bunch of them originally. Like I watched Death Note on Hulu. I watched Monster on Hulu. Like this is back in like
Back in the
2008.
day.
This is like
Gotcha.
2007, 2008. And I'm because they had just put them all on there and you could marathon them all. And that was minor. Or this was great. You would watch anime in three different 10 minute, 8 to 10 minute segments on YouTube.com. And you
Okay.
would have to load up these playlists, and it would be like Death Note Season 1, Episode 1, Part 1, Season 1, Episode 1, Part 2, Season 1, Episode 1, Part 3. And Part 3 would be like 4 minutes long, and half of it would be the credits.
You'd wonder where these TikTok bots get this idea from of
Well,
doing part one,
everything
part
old is
two,
new
part three, part
again.
four. Exactly. So it's like we're literally living a circle life. Like it's just
Exactly.
everything goes back around.
We keep doing the same stuff. But worse, it's just like how streaming services are just doing the cable model again, but worse, because tech bros ruin everything and Silicon Valley sucks. And speaking of streaming services, a thing that's doing cable, but worse, Star Wars Visions on Disney Plus. Which one are we talking about today, Bradley? Because we cannot just spend the whole time bitching about streaming services.
This week, we're talking about season one, The Ninth Jedi, where the daughter of a lightsaber smith is pursued by dark forces while on a dangerous mission. Charles, would you
Exciting.
like a little bit of background information on this short?
I would absolutely love to hear whatever the fuck you have to say to me.
All right, so this.
I would love to know what anime you pick to explain this production studio.
Okay, well, first, it was written and directed by Kenji Kamiyama. Hopefully, I said that right. And
Pretty close to me.
yeah, okay. I didn't recognize any of his works, but it looks like he works for the studio quite frequently. And so I'm assuming that they make about the same stuff that he works on. So the studio that we're talking about today is called Production ID. It
IG.
says, or I, I'm
It's
sorry, IG.
production IG, as in IG88, Bradley.
It auto-corrected my thing. The company produces animated television series, shorts, and films such as Ghost in the Shell, which would later spawn a media franchise of Ghost in the Shell. And the only other thing I recognized that I could name was it's an animated sequences in Kill Bill Volume 1, among other works. So,
They made a few things that I've recognized. I am glad you got Ghost in the Shell,
okay,
which
that was
is
the only
arguably
thing
the
that I
most
even
famous thing that
I was
they are
gonna
known
say.
for,
I was the only thing I
is
recognized.
Ghost in the Shell, which actually mentioned in the behind the scenes, they talk about like Ghost in the Shell. The things that I recognized, they made Haikyuu, it looks like, which if you were on Tumblr around 2015-ish in the anime space, Haikyuu. It's that volleyball anime. They made that one. The only other
Oh,
one that,
wait, the one where the girls fight with their boobs or something, or is that something
no, that's something else.
Okay.
You just described a lot of anime.
Oh,
You
well.
just described a ton. This one is another one in those veins of sports shows that are not supposed to be homoerotic, but everybody read them as homoerotic to be differentiated
Got it.
from things like Free Iwatobi Swim Club, which I think we're supposed to be pandering, or Yuri on Ice, which is just gay. But the only other thing that they made that I recognize, because I really loved the first season of this, they made Psycho Pass. Specifically, they made Psycho Pass 1 and up. Looks like they made 1 and season 3. It doesn't look like they made season 2. But I've only watched season 1 and I really liked it. This was years ago. I have not watched it since.
I only had one other thing that they did, which is actually Star Wars related.
What is that?
This is per Wikipedia, so I did not verify this information other than Wikipedia, but I'm fairly confident Wikipedia's skills. They said that the studio contributed to the design of a character for an episode of Clone Wars in season one titled Lair of Grievous, where they did some guy named Nadar Veb, who is a Mon Calamari.
Oh, the Mon Calamari, the former Kit Fisto Padawan that gets
Okay.
fucking murdered in that episode. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you
Nadar Veb.
go.
Yeah,
Well,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
who they designed I guess they did some kind of design for him, but I'm like, he just looks like a Mon Calamari, so I don't really know how much that work that put, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I don't know how animation works, so maybe they put a
Yeah,
lot of work in.
they've made a lot of anime. Like Production I.G. is one of those ones that's like old hat in the anime field. They've made so fucking much of it. I just mentioned the ones that I recognized or have seen at least one episode of. I did want to shout out too that they have made a they did the animation for Mass Effect Paragon Lost, which was apparently a prequel film to Mass Effect 3 set during the events of Mass Effect 2. I thought that was neat, and I may have to go watch that film. Because apparently Freddie Prinze Jr. is in it. Because he's reprising his role from Mass Effect 3. We don't need to get into that. We don't have time for this to become a Mass Effect podcast all of a sudden.
All right, well then, would you like to know who the English voice cast is for this episode?
What happens if I say no?
Then I have to do the Japanese one, and then you'd have to sit there while I try to name every single Japanese voice actor, and then I'd do be very unsuccessful at
Okay, we won't be doing that. So please tell me
it.
the highlighted English voice cast because, rather like with the last episode, we cannot possibly do every single person.
Correct. I do want to say that the people I do not name in this English voice cast are going to be all the Sith Acolyte characters, which are interesting design-wise, and we'll talk about them later on design-wise. But all those people are voiced by people who have done previous voice, like additional voices in the episodes we've already covered. So they appear periodically throughout Vision Season 1. A lot of them did characters in the duel, and then some of the other episodes. So they're just kind of they do a lot of the background voices for those other characters. But starting off with our main character, we have Tomiko Glenn as Kara, which is our female Jedi main character. She is an animated Disney trifecta. She was Penny Parker in Into the Spider-Verse, and she's
Nice.
been in Disney's DuckTales, but she's been in a bunch of Disney stuff. So that's just the one I picked.
The appropriate one, yes.
And then more interesting for you, Charles, since this is a more recent thing, she was a voice in Hazbin Hotel as the character Nifty.
Correct.
Okay, I don't know who that is, but that's the character she plays in that.
All you need to know about the character of Nifty is that Nifty delivers a line in episode 3, I think, that is so funny. That I fell off of the couch from
Oh,
laughing at it.
I'm gonna
She's
have to go back and
also,
listen.
if you have watched all the way to episode 7, she's the voice of Susan.
Okay, don't know what that means, but sure.
If you've listened to the show, you know who Susan was in that episode. She's Susan in the cannibal episode.
Got it.
That's all you need to know.
Now, Kimiko Glenn does not just do animated voices. Most people would know her for her live action work in Orange is the New Black. She was in
Yes.
a lot of episodes in that. So yeah, she's really cute, and I loved her, and she's great. Next up, we have Simu Liu as Lazima, who is
Lazima.
Lakkar's.
So Law is the last name, by the way.
La is the last name. Okay, so
Law is
Zima
the
is his
last
name.
name. Zima is his name. Kara is the girl's name.
Oh, that makes so much
They're
more sense.
doing the
Okay.
Japanese thing where
Got
the
it.
surname is in the front.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's going on with these characters. It's not like a Star Wars name because they call her
Understood.
Kara in the short. They're doing a Japanese
Oh.
name thing where the surname is in the front.
That was confusing for me because I was like, I know her name is not Law. And I was like, his
No, it
name
is
is not
not.
Law. But
No,
whatever.
the Law is the last name.
Got
Because
it.
they refer to them in the short last name, first name, because in Japan
Understood.
you would refer to people by their last name first.
Copy that.
Their
Okay,
family name
so
first and then their given name.
that
Yeah,
makes
that's what
sense.
they're doing. So the guy's name is Zima.
Zima. Okay, who is her father? Got it.
And he's voiced by Simu Liu.
Yes, which everybody knows for playing Shang-Chi in Legend of the Ten Rings for Marvel, more recently in the Barbie movie as Ken, well, one of the Kens. And
I
then
still haven't seen that movie. The Oscars were yesterday, and I still
I'm
haven't
gonna
watched
pretend you
that
didn't say that because you're part of the problem.
How does me not getting around to watching Barbie yet contribute to Oppenheimer winning Best Picture? Spoilers for the Oscars, by the way, if you haven't caught up on the Oscars, Oppenheimer won Best Picture.
And that's exactly why they won. And
Are you
then,
sure it's not because the Academy's been sucking off World War II movies forever?
I mean, that's just, I feel like if you do a World War II movie, you have to win no matter what.
So, So it's
So
so
funny.
funny because Kate Winslet was on an episode of, I think, Extras, and she made a joke about playing a character in a World War II movie specifically to win an Oscar, and then promptly went on to win an Oscar for playing a character in a World War II movie. It's fucking crazy how much the Academy loves World War II.
Also, Simu Liu was in the show Kim's Convenience Store with our Star Wars veteran Paul Sung-Hoon Lee, who plays Carson Teva in Ahsoka more recently, and of course The Mandalorian.
The real star of the
The
Mandoverse,
real star of The
Paul Sun-Hyung Lee.
Mandalorian. Right. Up next, we have Andrew Cascino as the Margrave slash the steward droid. He does, I guess, because he's in the droid
Never
in the
heard of
whole
this
episode.
man before in my life.
Yeah, no, we didn't just talk about him last week as the voice of Saw Gerrera and all that good stuff. So I don't have to go too much into detail. We talked about him last week. You guys know who he is. I just thought it was interesting, though, that he did show up twice now in a second Visions episode. I just thought it was interesting.
Get that paycheck.
Yeah, but you know what? He was there that day and they said, "Oh, by the way, can you also
By
do
the
this
way, can you
voice?"
do this? I feel like he's one of the people that like their casting just has on speed dial to be like, do you want to come in and do this?
I would love to be on that speed dial where someone was just like, you know what? I just want to pay someone today, and this is the first person I think of. That's what I would love to have. Up next, we have Masioka as Ethan. I've got so much on him. It's so funny. So you would most likely know him as the star of NBC's television hit series back in the day, Heroes,
Christ, I remember that
where he
show.
played Hiro Nakamura.
Christ, I remember that show.
It's so long ago, but that is who
Christ.
he is.
I was in like, what, middle school, high school when that came out?
I don't even remember. I just remember watching, I think, the first or second season or something. And there's so many people in that show that you don't even realize that are like in that show. And then you go back and watch it and you're like, oh, they're doing this now. They're doing this now. They're doing this now.
It's the jump scare. It's a jump scare of like, you ever go back? I know you can't relate to this, but there are members of our audience who can. You ever go back and watch like the first season of Supernatural and be like, what the fuck is Han Solo doing here? Because the guy who plays Han Solo in Solo is in the like episode two or three of Supernatural,
Oh gosh, I haven't
like of the
watched it in
whole
so long. I don't
show.
know.
Like he turns up and is like, what
You're
the
just like,
fuck are you
hi.
doing here? What are you doing?
I love
It's
that.
crazy.
No, that's what it's like watching Grey's Anatomy, because Grey's Anatomy has become the new like ER or whatever, or like Days of Our
Right.
Lives, you know what I mean? So like you have all these people who appear in Grey's Anatomy throughout the years because that's like, or like it's like the Law and Order kind of esque thing where you just get on a medical drama for like an episode as like a patient and then you end up booking other stuff later on. But it's just like I don't know, it's just so funny seeing all these people. And also, more recently, he did a voice in Netflix's Blue Eye Samurai, which is, I'm assuming, an anime. And then
I'm
he
not
also.
sure. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I
I've
just assume
heard
because,
many
you know.
people tell me it's like one of the best things. No, actually, it's not true. I've seen about 5 minutes of it because I walked through the room while my boyfriend was watching it, stopped and watched for about 5 minutes, and then immediately determined that I could not jump into this show on like episode three and walked out of the room.
Well, I also have a fun fact about Masioka. Are you ready for this?
Let's hear the fun fact.
I did not know this. So he's actually a former employee of Industrial Light and Magic,
Really?
where he was a digital and visual effects artist working on the Star Wars prequels.
Wow.
And
Did not know that.
specifically, he was responsible for the effects involved in creating Geonosis's rings in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Fucking rad.
Like, how do you go from just like doing digital and visual effects and then just being an actor? Like, and then you're like, oh, by the way, I used to work on a Star Wars movie back in the day. Now I'm doing a voice in Star Wars Visions. Like, I just think that's so cool.
I love this for him.
I mean, that's so fun.
You said you had one more for me. I have one more for you that I know is not on your list.
Oh, okay. Well, I have the only one I have left is the narrator, and that one's for
Who
you. So
narrated this?
this episode was narrated by Neil Kaplan, who
Who
has
is Neil
done.
Kaplan,
He
Bradley?
has done voices in a few Star Wars video games that I'm sure you've played back in the day. It looks like he was voices in Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and Star Wars The Old Republic.
Who is he in Knights of the Old Republic? Hold on, I gotta find this out. Neil
I can just
Kaplan.
click.
Let me do my little typing thing.
Yeah, because I don't know the characters, so I'm sure you would love to know.
Let's
A lot of them
see.
were additional voices, I think.
Oh Christ, he was a lot of them. He's Darth Bandon. He's a lot of like random voices. He doesn't voice like one of the main companions, but he is the voice of Darth Bandon, which is pretty cool. So he just does additional
Yeah, he
voices
just
for
did a,
them.
yeah, additional voices. It was just a few. Okay,
I have
what's
one
your
for
bonus?
you that I happened to click on.
Okay.
I was like, what's going on here? I happened to click on the voice of the boatman droid.
Okay.
JP Karliak is this person who voices the
The droid,
boatman
yep.
droid. JP Karliak has been in a couple of things, 103. I didn't really look in. He's in the X-Men 97. He's in things. Doesn't really matter. He's a voice actor. What's important to us is that he is the founder and president of QueerVox, a nonprofit training academy and community for LGBTQIA+ voice talent that advocates for authentic and equitable casting opportunities.
Oh,
He is also
interesting.
a queer man himself.
I see. Well, I also saw he was in that show that you like on Netflix called Q Force.
He was. Well, who was he in Q-Force?
Someone named
I'm still
Andrew?
not convinced Q-Force exists. Like, I'm not convinced because I watched that show while sick as fuck
Yeah.
on the couch. I'm not convinced I didn't just hallucinate. I don't remember the context for this character that he plays in Q-Force. So I thought that was neat.
Yeah. Also, I noticed that he was in The Duel. He does some additional voices in The Duel as well. So
Oh, that
there
is
you
very
go.
cool. Cool. Cool for him. You want to know another fun fact about this droid?
Sure.
Actually, we'll save that for the end. We'll save that for
Oh,
playing.
okay. I was like, what's the fun fact that it's smoking or drinking
We'll
tea?
get there. We'll get there.
Okay,
We'll get
okay.
to the fun fact about the droid.
Let's talk about the animation style for this one.
Let's talk about the animation style for
Because
this one.
Okay, so spoiler alert for everybody, before I do final thoughts, this was my favorite episode
Interesting.
of the show. Now, not because the animation style, but I thought animation-wise, this show seemed the most to me like a TV show. Like I feel like the other ones felt like shorts. This one felt to me like it was already an established animated show. Like it was giving me like, this is what I think of when I think of anime. This is what I think of an actual like show. And I actually think this is the longest of all the episodes.
Because it's two
Runtime.
ideas that they crammed into one.
Okay.
They originally were going to do two 15-minute shorts and they merged it together into one, according to the behind the scenes documentary.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense then.
What did you think of the blending of the CGI and the like traditional animation style? Because this one really blatantly mixes those two.
I'm not mad about it. I mean, it, you know what it, because I've seen it before done. Like, I think the shows that are the most popular that do it now are like The Simpsons and Family Guy. They're very, like, they'll have these, most of it is 2D or it looks 2D. And then they'll have these random big scenes or big animation things that they do sometimes. And it's like all of a sudden, it's just like a 3D thing with like this filter to make it look like it's in that 2D world still. So that they really popularized that. So I don't know, because I remember when they switched animation style back in the day. There's an episode of Family Guy, I believe, where it's like a haunted mansion kind of episode or murder mystery kind of episode. And that's the first episode where they went into the new 3D computer assisted style of animation versus the original hand drawn that they used to do back in the day for Family Guy. And so now I feel like that's just like a trend, like to do that, to kind of have this almost computer assisted animation. I like it. I mean, I didn't really like think of it as weird. I think only the only part that was weird was I think the very beginning when the thing shot out from the surface to grab one of the asteroids or to grab like the rocks. I didn't quite know what was happening at first. And I was like, what is this? But then I figured it out once they, went to the surface.
Yeah, I went back and forth because I don't have a lot of vivid recollections of the anime, like my reaction to the animation the first time I watched this, because we watched it all in one day, and I think I was starting to get a little burnt out by this one. But I just watched it, and I kind of had to go on a journey from, wow, this is a really weird like mishmash of like CGI and the hand drawn. But I think you're right. I think that what it's doing is it's very deliberately trying to be one of those like weirder sci-fi shows from the mid 2000s,
Right.
Like it's trying to do that very specific things like Psycho Pass that I mentioned really liking back when I was in college and I watched a season of it. But it's trying to do, there was a period where they were still kind of figuring out like computer animation, particularly in anime, they were like trying to work out where it fit in. Again, we're still rewatching Monster, and Monster was in like 2005. It'll have these occasional shots that are very obviously CGI, and it's mostly location shots. It's mostly things like that. Like you'll get like the interior of a train car as it's moving, or you'll get like a car moving like down a highway or something, and it'll be this random, and then it'll be back to the 2D animation. Or in Monster's case, because they made 74 episodes of it and had a budget of $5 an episode,
Right.
the person sitting there with their mouth alone moving. Anyway, I think this was trying to deliberately invoke those styles, and once I realized that, I was able to get over a lot of my hangups. Like, I was like, oh, the character, the movements are really jerky, especially compared to something like the Village Bride that we just watched, or
Right.
Tatooine Rhapsody. It was a little more in keeping with the duel, I think, just in terms of how it was very deliberately playing with timing and how the characters are animated. Because this the director knows how to do action very, very well. And you can tell from some of the action scenes. So like when we get to the lightsaber fight and there's some like gaps in it, that's a deliberate, it's clearly a deliberate choice on their part to emulate like certain styles of like fighting in anime. So I did really end up liking it. It was a little difficult to watch for all these reasons at points, just for me, but I also do think I'm spoiled because we did come off the Village Bride last week.
Right.
And the Village Bride was also doing simplistic, but in a much more elegant way that was just more visually nice to look at. And this one is not quite as nice to look at, but also I think it lends itself really well and will transition into the overall what's going on. I think it lends really well to the like kind of jerky, uncomfortable world that they're trying to create in the Ninth Jedi. Because this world is bleak, or at
Yeah,
least what
it.
we find out about it.
I don't know what the story-wise, like the reasoning is for, like, other than just everybody's dead. Like,
Everybody's
you know,
dead.
yeah.
We get these like little hints of what's
Right.
going on because the narrator gets up and is like, oh, it's long after the events of the main Star Wars story, and the Jedi and the Sith are still around for some reason, but the Jedi have been disbanded. There's a war going on. That's what we know. And like, it's to the point where the Jedi don't even have lightsabers. Like, the whole plot of this relies around like they figured out how to make lightsabers.
Right. Yeah, and the fact that there's not only is there no lightsabers, the fact that there's people actively hunting people for lightsabers, or like they confiscate them, and like it's like a whole thing. Like also that you're not really a Jedi if you don't have a lightsaber kind of thing. I thought it was kind of weird. Like it was like a, or at least I don't know if someone says that, or I think maybe Ethan says that at one point where he's like, "Oh, I don't have one myself, but like I can use the Force or something like that." And I'm like.
Yeah, he gets up and he gives his whole little like exposition speech with his name,
Right.
name and rank and social
Yeah.
security number, which
This
is
is where
so
I
funny.
was when Order 66 happened. This is what I
Oh,
was
Order 66
doing.
was long ago, because this takes
Right.
place in the, like, it's trying to be a sequel to Star Wars,
Okay.
like in a way, like sort of how the last Jedi, not the last Jedi, fuck, the Twins takes place after Rise of Skywalker. The Ninth Jedi takes place way after Rise of Skywalker.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I guess the Sith are back for some reason, and then the Jedi are nowhere to really be found, and
Yeah,
then
it's a repetition of the status quo.
yeah.
We get these like hints of what's going on in the wider galaxy, but they don't dwell too much on it. It feels like, I was thinking about this as I was watching it again, the Village Bride, Ronan, in fact, really all of the others have felt like, especially the twins, have felt like one part of a larger story.
Right.
But I don't think any of them, except really the twins, have felt like a pilot. This feels like a pilot.
That's what I mean. Like, this is why when I watched
There's
this,
a
I was like,
major fucking
yeah.
story beat in this that does not get resolved.
Right, and they set it up so well too. Like clear, like it seems so much so that this is a pilot, and that like this is what you would use to sell to the network your idea for the actual show, which is like here. This is just a very simplified version of kind of where we want the first two or three episodes to go. And it's like, here you go. Like, what do you think? Do you think we have something here? Do you think it'll appeal to, you know, everybody?
It's a
And
traditional
it's.
pilot.
Yeah, it's so good. And I loved it. I loved just the fact that I thought everybody had like a decent enough character that where you wanted to know more about them, and like there was interesting little bits about each character. Even like Kara, you know, when she uses the lightsaber for the first time, it's like clear. Like we don't know. I also love that aspect, by the way, of like you know a Jedi or Sith's true intentions when they unlock their lightsaber.
So, from what I could tell, and I didn't verify this before we started recording, so I'll print a retraction if I'm wrong or someone can correct me. That was an old idea for Return of the Jedi.
Really?
That lightsabers would change depending on who was actually holding them.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And that I think there's like a comic panel of Vader holding Luke's lightsaber and it's turned red because he's holding it. I remember reading about that when the Ninth Jedi came out, but I did not verify that before we started recording. So take that with a grain of salt. But I also do like the idea that they change depending on who's holding it, because it changes the kyber crystal to a conduit of the user, the
Right.
lightsaber's user, and showing their intentions like nothing can hide. Like the guy that they like manage to stop, like his lightsaber turning purple, and that like cluing everybody in that oh no, he's
He's not actually
conflicted.
bad. Yeah, because I have that written down. Let's see. Jedi Master Mace Windu's fighting style is called Form 7, which
In
skirt
Legends,
in
okay, sure.
something, yeah.
Talk about fucking Vipad.
It says, which skirts the gray area between light side and dark side,
Course it
resulting in an
fucking
aggressive
does.
fighting style. This is the canon explanation for Mace Windu's purple lightsaber. Light side mixed with dark side equals blue mixed with red.
Sure.
Sure, that makes sense.
That's what it was in Legends.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it. Actually, this is a
Well, the
good.
canon reason is because somebody said, I want a purple lightsaber, and they
The
got
reason
one.
is Samuel L. Jackson
That's
said he.
the real reason. I don't know what the bullshit
I'm
reason is
actually gonna
for it in
check.
canon. Well, they have purple ones in your High Republic kids show, right?
Yeah, but they're not practitioners of this particular form.
Oh, well, then they're just
Although
that
the
cool.
form, I am discovering that I'm realizing now the form is canon.
Oh,
I
it is.
don't
Okay.
where it was made. Oh, it's been referenced in like reference books and things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the force, like the lightsaber forms and things are like they've quietly been pushed to the side. And
Sure.
I've been reading like the Old Republic books and things. I just finished Darth Bane, and I have to say that's probably for the best. I know there are people who really like the lightsaber forms, but they don't make a lot of sense to me. It's a little bizarre to me. Whatever, we don't have time to get into that. Even in Legends, though, they had yeah, there was like a purple lightsaber for Mace Windu, but then like they started doing all this stuff with like the Old Republic and like all of that, and there was purple lightsabers in that. And then now people can just have them. That's just a thing you can have occasionally. Because some of the High Republic characters do have purple lightsabers. And then Rey's is yellow. We can just do lightsaber color, different colors now. That was a complete tangent. Anyway, I really like how the lightsaber crystals change colors.
Yes, I love that. I also thought it was weird too how there's one point where she's able to lengthen the blade and shorten the blade as well. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I can't
Because the
remember.
dad gives like an explanation of some kind that like depending on the user, like it can change based on the personality or something. And it's like, that's weird.
I think Star Wars Rebels, we see Ezra is able to change his lightsaber blade length.
Yeah, doesn't he have like there's like a knob or something on the
There's a
side where he
knob
like
that you
yeah,
can
he like
turn that he
adjusts
can.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, he can. It's like too large, and then he shrinks it a little bit because he's fucking
Right.
15 years old in the first
Right.
season.
Yeah, that's so weird. I never thought about that, but you know, because I just naturally assumed it just, you know, Yoda is short, so his is smaller. Ahsoka has a long one and a short one because her short one is a different type of weapon. Like it's like it just I
We don't
just
have time to
canon
get into
wise
all that.
I get it. Like, yeah. But this one's just interesting that you could adjust it at will. I thought that was just kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, they talk about in the short, like they talk about in the short that accompanies the behind the scenes about how like, oh, we'd really like to see like where the story goes next. Like very obviously they want it to be a pilot. Like very obviously they want to keep making the story. And I really do think they should because they've got a lot of these unexplored. The thing for me with the Ninth Jedi is that the Ninth Jedi is a lot of really good ideas that are all just set up. And I like the Ninth Jedi overall, but it doesn't have as strong of a resolution as some of the other shorts, even the ones that don't necessarily end completely. Things like the twins. Ninth Jedi ends with them setting off to find her dad in the cool spaceship that they designed. But like there's stuff left dangling. Kara feels like she's just at the start of her character journey. We don't really know what Ethan's deal is, other than the fact that he has to be named Ethan.
Yeah, that's not, it doesn't really sound very Star Warsy, but
Star
it's whatever.
Warsy? Look, I mean, fucking Alec Guinness's character in A New Hope is named Ben. Like,
That's true.
what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? We have Luke and Ben.
I mean, they fixed it later,
They fix it in the same movie,
you
but whatever, we don't have time. No, it's a lot of interesting ideas, like the lightsaber stuff, like what's going on with the broader implications of the wider galaxy.
Right.
All of that, really fucking cool droid designs in this.
This is probably a great point to bring up whatever you were going to say about the droid, but yes, I love all the droid designs in this, especially I actually really like the what's called the steward droid, which is where he's inside of the droid, kind of controlling it essentially.
Yeah, he's hiding in the droid. That's so rad.
I love that. Also, it gave me K2SO vibes, like it's just, but it's also
Oh,
like
100%.
K2SO, but like a little bit bigger. Like he's clearly like a
You
larger.
know who it reminded me of? Kalani, the tactical droid from the Onderon arc of Clone Wars, and then again from that one episode of Rebels where they have to go fight the battle droids because Kalani gets the shutdown signal from Mustafar and it's like, well, this is obviously a trick, so we're gonna ignore that. And then they have to like do battle with him. He reminds me, the droid in this reminds me of him. Also, unusually sexy voice for a droid. We don't have time to get into that right now.
It also gave me the vibes of like a Studio Ghibli, like there's, I don't know if there's, I couldn't tell you the name of the movies, but there's movies where there's like taller, like robot looking things in those movies, and they just, I don't know, that just gave me that vibe of like it looked cool. I love the
It
designs.
looked very, very cool. Do we have anything else on do you have any other thoughts on the Ninth Jedi before we move to final thoughts?
No, I mean, I have one little trivia thing about the character design.
Give me the trivia thing about the character design.
So in the book, The Art of Star Wars Visions, it reveals that the alien characters or the Sith acolytes in this episode were all original alien designs, but they were inspired by established Star Wars designs. So for instance, the little blue one is supposed to be Yoda, and then like one of them is supposed to be the blue, I think it's the blue girl. She's supposed to be like Asajj Ventress or something with hair, I guess. And then
Asajj Ventress with hair, so like Dark Disciple Asajj Ventress,
and
like
then
Bad Batch Asajj Ventress.
And then the one with the purple lightsaber is supposed to be more like a Chewbacca-esque like kind of
Nice.
alien.
I did not
So
realize that, but that's very cool.
So I thought those were cool. My only other thing is that I really liked Kara's little droid. I thought like, you know, that's the icing on the cake to any Star Wars is like your main character has to have a cute little droid that follows them. And I liked it.
I do want to ask before we dive into final thoughts, Bradley, I've already said that I would like to see this continue in some form, and I feel like it kind of needs to because the story's not over or not at what I feel to be a satisfying resolution. So I want to see more. They've piqued my interest here. What about you? Would you like to see this, and how would you like to see this continue?
I would like to see this continue. I would like them to consider this to be like the pilot. And then I would like to see them kind of go back, change some things, like maybe, you know, fix a few things or like kind of update the stuff, change some character designs, whatever they need to do to make it like really solid. And then like turn at least this pilot into like maybe two or three episodes versus like just one. And then like I would love to see it as a just a traditional 22 episode, you know, animated television show that and just say like they just need to start a new thing. Like I love Visions for like the short aspect. aspect of it, but Star Wars needs to do their own thing where like they just call it Star Wars Legends or whatever, and it doesn't have anything to do with their main thing, and it's
Wow,
just
revolutionary idea you've got here.
right. But it's just it would be an anthology series or something like that, where you could do like one season or two seasons of a show that would be like just its own thing. So like the Ninth Jedi would be its own thing, because my
You could
issue,
call it Star Wars Infinities.
right, something like that.
Maybe Star Wars
I don't know what that is,
If
but
we ever get the Star Wars What If, Bradley,
yeah.
you and I will talk about Star Wars Infinities and
Gotcha.
what that was. Because Star Wars, like publishing, used to be much looser about releasing non-canon stuff.
Now my flip to that would be, then what they need to do is, if they do release this as like a its own animated show, then they need to canonize it in the sense that they need to make it fit the timeline. So they need to be like, okay, this takes place before the Phantom Menace, this takes place before the High Republic or after the High Republic or whatever. Like, you just got to pick a time frame that you want to do it in and just say that this is when it takes place, and then that way it doesn't affect, you know, the main canon too much. My only issue was, I think it was the title that I had issue with. So that's my final thought, was I was going to say, was I had an issue with the title, because to me, the premise was that there's eight or so Jedi that come to this meeting, and then she is quote unquote the ninth Jedi to come to this meeting. And then turns out all the other Jedi are Sith, so she's not the ninth Jedi, she is the third
Well,
Jedi. Like, well, I don't understand the fourth
hold
Jedi.
on, because they kind of explain this.
Okay.
There are seven other, there's six other Jedi. Well, five other Jedi that are in the room. Anyway, all the Sith that were there were replacing a Jedi that are still around.
Got it. But did they not kill them and take their place?
They did not. Juro explicitly says at the end, I still sense them out there.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to go get them. This is a pilot for the series, is they're going to go get the other Jedi to go get her dad back
Okay.
and
Okay.
reform the Jedi Order.
Sure. That makes sense then. Okay. I
That
like it then.
makes sense. That makes sense. My final thought is that I love watching what are essentially fan films from these guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's what this is.
It's fan films with money.
They love
Yeah.
the creative team of this loves Star Wars so much. And you can tell, and I'm willing to forgive any and all flaws and things when it's clear that the creators are celebrating Star Wars and doing it in a really positive way, in a really fun way, and getting into the core of like what Star Wars means to them, what Star Wars is to them. It's the same thing with The Village Bride that we looked at last week. So I really love that. Also, shout out to just the final shot for being so ridiculous. And so ridiculously on the nose that it swings back around into kind of being awesome again.
Yeah, it's
Like,
like, why is the light go beam going up to
and
make a
then the lightsaber
lightsaber?
noise ignites, and I'm just like, oh, that's kind of cool, actually.
It's so cool though. Like, I love that design too, but it's also kind of like, wait, are they ever going to come back to this place? Because if they're not going to come back to this place, then it's like,
Who
what's the
knows?
point?
Who knows?
Yeah.
My final thought is, good Lord, the deaths in this are brutal. They're
Yeah,
just
the
like
one guy,
chopping people. The one guy
yeah.
gets burned.
One guy gets burned, the one guy gets chopped in half. It's like, okay,
Multiple people
what,
get
like,
chopped straight in half.
yeah, you're like, holy crap. I love it.
So I
That's what makes it
promised.
real anime though. There, I'm like,
That's
like,
true,
it's
is the
actual
violent
violence.
deaths. The violent deaths for kids.
Right.
Next week we're doing TOB1, I think, is the one, the next one we're doing.
So is it TOB1 or T0B1?
Great question. You'll have to tune in next week to
Next week
find
to find
out.
it all.
Bradley, I teased you all the way back at the beginning with a fun fact about the Boatman droid. That model of droid is the model of droid that Zero on For Light and Dice is. That Zero's player, whose name is Robin, loved that droid so much that if you look at official art of Zero, Zero looks like the Boatman droid, just bigger and with a poncho. And that leads me nicely into saying that you can also find me on the TTRPG podcast, For Light and Dice, a TTRPG set in the High Republic era. I also write a series of gay thriller novels called Beach House Studios. It's on Kindle. On the Bradley side of things, which we normally do first, but I wanted to segue into it with that Zero fact.
I like it.
Bradley does a fuckload of reality TV. If you've listened to our show for a long time, you know some of the shows he's worked on. We only promote one at a time, and we are currently promoting Married to Medicine Season 10. You can also watch a bunch of stuff he's done on Peacock and Bravo, including Queen's Court. I don't know, I picked a random one out of my ass. All right, well, that's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week as our Visions coverage continues. And Bradley, go ahead and run the socials. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gold Squadron Gaze. Did Charles fuck something up? Email us at goldsquadrongaze@gmail.com to let us know. You can also find us on Twitter at @goldsquadgaze, and you can find us on TikTok and Instagram at @goldsquadrongaze. You can also find us on YouTube at our Gold Squadron Gaze YouTube channel, where we post full episodes of this show. Finally, if you liked the show, don't forget to rate us and give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. That allows other people to find our show. As always, thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gaze, and we'll see you next week. Do we know what's next after Married to Medicine? I feel like I ask this every week. It's like, what are we doing next?
I know exactly what's next.
What's after next? Married to Medicine. What are we promoting next? The only problem is
I don't know when it's going to air, so I can't actually say it. Because God it damn hasn't it. Technically been announced. And even though everybody already knows it exists, I can't say anything. So it's like, it's so frustrating because I know I want to promote it so badly, but I can't because I don't have the details and I don't know when they're going to air it, which I'm assuming summer, but because it's already March and I'm just like,
it's already
they
got to
announce it soon. So it's so frustrating. Netflix is annoying.